Pour yourself a glass and settle in. This is Sweet Tea and Stethoscopes.
Spilling the tea on nursing in South Carolina and beyond.
Brought to you by the South Carolina Nurses Association.
TK!
Hey!
How you doing?
I am pretty good.
Pretty good.
Trying to keep our heads above water.
What is it? Living the dream?
Living the dream.
Some days it's a nightmare.
Most days. No, not most days. Most days are pretty good. I can't complain.
They're mid. We got our sweet tea.
Always.
What are you drinking? I've got peach in mine.
So I got a little lemonade in mine. So I'm sweet teeing with a little side of Arnold Palmer, if you will.
It counts.
Yeah, it does count. It does. It's still tea.
There we go. And we're about to spill it here.
Got plenty to spill, too.
So we're doing a thing. We're having a baby.
We are having a baby.
I needed a baby. And we're making a baby together.
We are.
And what is this baby?
So our baby is Sweet Tea and Stethoscopes. It is the core of who we are, coming to your homes, coming to your phones, coming to your laptops.
Right, your commute to work.
Wherever you're coming workout. From. We're there. Yeah. We're there. So, yeah, we're birthing this baby together. I'm kind of excited.
And we are the South Carolina Nurses Association, or rather representing the nurses of the state of South Carolina. I think, what's our last number?
We're right on the cusp of 90,000.
90,000 nurses in the state of South Carolina as of fall of 2025.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You know, of course, all those nurses, some of them may be working in the state. Some of them may be working, you know, locums or doing other things. But as far as licensed nurses in this state, so almost 90,000 of them.
That's amazing.
Largest healthcare workforce.
It is.
Period.
No one comes close to the power of nurses.
And the strength,
the numbers.
And yet, we haven't tapped into that power yet. So I think that's some of the things we're going to try to hopefully get done here on Sweet Tea and Stethoscopes, is help people to tap into that power and figure out why it's so important.
Right. So the whole point of this podcast is to really just take those voices that are often unheard from the bedside, from the clinical education perspective, or that could be even APRNs. It could be midwives. It could be clinical nurse specialists, RNs. It could be those who are working in doctor's offices, in hospitals. There's no reason why those voices can't be LPNs, CNAs. Right. It's all nursing.
And nursing students. I was going to say LPNs, nursing students, RNs. If you have any connection to nursing, I think that at some point in time, we're going to make sure we tap into you. Because this is for all of us. It's not just for one subset of nursing. Because I really think that we have kind of lost ourselves in nursing in general. Sometimes we get so focused on one thing, we get so linear that we forget all the other pieces, but all of it is what makes it work. So we need every voice. We want to hear every voice. And hopefully as we continue to evolve, we'll have some more guests that come from all over the nursing world.
All over the nursing world. It's so vast. I know they tell you in school, like, you can do anything with your nursing degree.
Anything.
In reality, you can do anything with your nursing degree.
Anything.
It's so true.
Anything.
And with that, what was your nursing journey?
Ooh. Okay. So my first degree is in political science.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't know that. So I'm a second career nurse is what we call it. But my first degree is in political science, and had a great time at, as far as I'm concerned, the Tigers, Auburn University. No shade to the Clemson folks, but I'm just saying. But I love y'all. But so I started off there. I got a degree in political science. Then I went on to the University of North Florida and got a degree in psychology.
Okay.
So I was trying to find myself, because my plan was to go to law school.
Gotcha.
I was determined that's what I was going to do. Started working at a hospital, and I really liked it. I'm the daughter of a social worker, so I've always been around patient type scenarios. So I start working in this hospital, find that I love it, decide to go back to school, and I'm going to go get an associate's degree in nursing. And that's what I did. So I went and got my associate's degree. I was working as a CNA at the time. So it was a easy transition. I would work on Saturday and Sunday. I would go to school Monday through Thursday, and I would pick up like every other Friday. And as I got closer to the end of my program, that's when we could give our shifts away because we had plenty of people. So I would be auctioning off my shifts. Anybody want a shift? Anybody want to work? Because I was still studying, trying to get ready for NCLEX and all that. Right. So started off with that part of that, took my NCLEX, 92 questions. And I remember because I got one wrong, and the one that I got wrong was a cardiac question, and I knew it was wrong when I did it. And the next question was, which one of these is a healthy fat? Now, I've been a nurse a long time, and I still remember this. Which one of these is a healthy fat? A banana, a pumpkin, a piece of pie, and an avocado. I mean, pretty simple, right?
Right.
But I knew that cards question took me all the way back down. So I think I probably would have done it in 75 had I not just totally bombed that one question. But that's okay. I always tell people, nobody asks you when you become a nurse, how many questions did you, other than other nurses, because we just like to banter back and forth with each other. But nobody asks you in the bedside to say, well, how many questions were on your NCLEX? They don't care.
Not a single.
They don't
never.
Care. And I also even tell students, A means nurse, B means nurse, C means nurse. Get through NCLEX. That's the most important part. But yeah, so I did that, got an associate's degree in nursing, was working at my hospital, then went and got a bachelor's degree, and then got my master's. And through that time, I had different jobs. One of the greatest parts of my career was I went from being the CNA on the floor to being the manager of that floor.
Ugh.
So I became a CNA on that unit. I became a RN on that unit. I became an assistant nurse manager on that unit. Then I became a manager on that unit. So it was really cool because I went from being the person who was support staff to being the person who was supporting the staff in a totally different way.
Right.
And managing the staff. And a lot of those people stayed the entire time. So some of those nurses that I grew up under, I was then their manager.
Wow. Yeah,
it was an interesting dynamic.
What a glow up, what a progression.
Yeah, it was good. It was, you know, it was one of those things that I didn't even realize what was happening as it was happening. I really didn't realize it. It was just me doing the work. I was just doing it. I wasn't thinking about what's next. I was just thinking about how do I give my best to the profession. So I did that. Then I became a med-surg director in the same hospital. And then I love that place.
When did you sleep?
I don't know. 1990. But I went and became the med-surg director and did that for a little while. Loved that. And then had an opportunity to become a chief nursing officer. So I likened my story from CNA to CNO over the course of about a decade and some change in a career. So that was pretty awesome.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden my dream job opened up, and people will say, why is this your dream job? So I'm the executive director of the South Carolina Nurses Association, and I have the benefit and the privilege of marrying two of the things that I love. I told you I have a degree in political science I'm a nurse. So I get to do health policy for a living. It's not much better than that for me. Like, it's like I hit the gold mine. And the person who had been in the role prior to me, I will always give credit where credit is due. Judith Thompson was the ED for 37 years.
Wow.
Which is amazing for anybody to be in any role that long.
Right.
And she did a lot of great work. And I'll tell you, one of the challenges was as she came out and there was that time of interim and transition and all of that, the association really had some kind of lulls. Mm-hmm. And we have come back with such a vengeance and this newfound just zeal for nursing and for working for nurses. Mm-hmm. And I think that nurses are really starting to see that. So, yeah, my career has been all of those things work-wise. But I've also worked in trauma. I've done oncology, med-surg. I'm certified in rehab nursing. I did rehab for a while. Hospice is one of my happy places, and a lot of nurses are like, oh, you like hospice? I love hospice.
Hospice is great.
Because I love helping people in that transition time. It's really, it's kind of, I don't know, it's heart-wrenching, but it's also heart-filling all at the same time. It fills my heart.
It's an honor.
It really is.
To
it's
be
a privilege.
That provider in that moment.
100%.
And that there's so much vulnerability and finality.
Oh, yeah. And And also then after that, then you become the bridge to what is your new normal. Mm-hmm. Because when you work in hospice, you realize that you take care of the patient, but then after the patient has transitioned, you're still taking care of that family. That
family is so important.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that does my heart good. It fills my cup up, and I just love it. So I've done a little bit of everything. Like I said, I even did some Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement work for a little while. Okay. I've done a little bit of everything in nursing. Yes. Okay. Very short stint in that because I realized I miss people. It was a job that had me in front of my computer, which was great, but I missed people. And now I have the benefit of this role that allows me to be in so many different places and touch so many different types of nurses in their lives. I have really kind of hit my gold mine.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Are you still doing some wound care on the side, PRN?
So I'm PRN. Mm-hmm. I'm really PRN. I am what you call a true PRN nurse. And what I mean by that is I am not the PRN nurse that's going to be on your schedule. Mm-hmm. I'm not the PRN nurse that you're going to have on those set shifts that, you know, most places say you got to work two shifts a month. Or what. Mm-hmm. I'm not that PRN nurse. You don't even want me to be that PRN nurse, because if I'm doing that, then I'm not working for you.
Right.
But yeah, I'll still pick up sometimes and do wound care. I also will pick up and do hospice sometimes. And every now and then, because I do have my own LLC, that's my business, I do some consulting work to support some businesses that are doing things in the healthcare space to try to help them, especially in their leadership with transitioning leaders and getting sure. them to the C-suite and all that. So, yeah, I'm still working and I'm still growing.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the beauty of nursing. It's always something to learn.
Always.
And, you know, I love like your story in nursing because you came from a very non-nursing background and came into this space. And I don't know if you knew back then that it was for you now, but you have become you've become the type of nurse that nurses want to see.
Yeah, I've never thought of it that way.
You really are. You're the nurse that other nurses want to see come out of school and start doing because mm-hmm. you understand all of the things that come along with it. And there's a special thing about being a second career nurse, I think.
It's yes,
it's special.
In many ways. Yeah. And I think there's certain, I mean, we'll probably certainly have a conversation at least once, if not 600 times about, you know, what each degree might imply, mm-hmm. which, I mean, it's not rigid, but, you know, coming in as a second career nurse as well. First, through my upbringing, I was pretty set on going into music and becoming a musician of some sort.
Okay.
For the longest time, I thought I was going to be a band director. And then I was like, you know what? I want to be a performer. And then I was like, just kidding. I want to be a band director. that's what brought me to South Carolina is I finished a bachelor's in music. Mm-hmm. And then I almost became an army band musician. I was actually disqualified after making it past the screening wow. rounds. I was diagnosed with Arnold Chiari malformation in 1999 and had a small portion of my skull and C1, C2 removed to alleviate the pressure of my cerebellum and all that. But having a 1-inch chunk of your skull removed disqualifies you from service.
Seriously?
So I panicked and I moved south and got into grad school in music.
Okay.
Ended up coming to USC in a roundabout way. And during that time, I halfway through my program, I was like, you know what? I think I want to be a nurse. And I applied for like the Goodwill CNA program. I put in an application for MTC to like start the pre-nursing certificate at mm-hmm. that time. And then I had a professor who was like, finish this degree first and then you can decide. And so I didn't finish the degree. I went and started teaching public school for a little bit. And then I heard my credits are going to not count and uh-huh. start to uh-huh. lapse and things like that. So I came back, I finished that degree, and I was like, you know what? I still want to be a nurse.
You had the bug.
And at that time, I still had the itch. And I was teaching at South Carolina State as a music professor, an adjunct professor. I was teaching music ed. I was teaching music history. I was teaching private clarinet lessons with my degree. And I started taking my nursing prereqs while I was doing that. So I was on both sides of Blackboard at the same time, which for those who have gone through education, nursing education in the past couple of years, you know, those online, I think they have a generic name for them. I know it's D2L for at MTC. Mm-hmm. It's Blackboard for a lot of larger institutions. Yeah. But those online learning platforms are cumbersome at best. So playing both sides of them at the same time, sitting in some of my classes, I mean, like, professor would be like, oh, you can't do that on this, you know, this service or this platform. I'm like, well, you actually can. Like, this is how you do it. And like, anyway, so I started nursing school. And at that time, I got my CNA. I started working in an ED as a tech. And through then, I started meeting nurses and meeting nurses who were already kind of serving different populations from a shared governance aspect.
Okay.
I met the past president of the Student Nurses Association in the ED that I was working in.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to Disney Cuddington. And she invited me to the Student Nurses Association conference. And so I was like, I don't want to spend money. So I volunteered and showed up day one. I was put at the registration table. And long story short, within 4 hours, I was nominated for a president-elect.
I love it.
And I think that's more of an more of the reason behind that is because of those transferable skills that we see in second career and that I attribute to second career nurses.
Correct, 100%.
And I'm not saying that first degree nurses don't have those things.
Not at all.
It's just I think it's an assumption of second degree.
It's a different life experience.
When
you start your career off in nursing is what you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start your career off in another area, you bring those things that aren't in the nursing world and you find a way to translate them into nursing. So I think it's a win either way.
Right.
It's a win either way.
So automatically at that registration table, I was bringing a little bit of public speaking, you know, the interpersonal relationships and creating those quickly based on my experience in education and just being able to organize information in a different way. Obviously, I attribute a lot of my musical training to nursing itself. It's like a skill base. Mm-hmm. That you take and you improv while at the bedside or while you're playing. You're listening to your colleagues. You're listening across. You're getting direction from the conductor while you're still putting yourself in your own practice into your performance.
I love that.
It's a direct parallel.
I feel like that's a whole episode by itself.
It could be.
The intersectionality of music and nursing.
Music and medicine.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, it's great.
Look at you. I love that. I think that would be.
Spinoff series, right?
Yes, where's it go? That we're working. That's another one to work on, but I love that. And now you got through that nursing program.
Mm-hmm. So I reapplied to MTC, right? And so I was in MTC's pre-nursing program.
Okay.
So I reopened the application from 2016 and 2021. And then I ended up transferring from MTC to USC's master's entry program, which utilizes a degree in something else. Mm-hmm. For me, music had no common prerequisites, so I had to retake all those or take them for the first time. So I did the MEPN program.
Mm-hmm.
And through then, I served as the state president of the Student Nurses Association, as well as I joined the National Student Nursing Association Board of Directors as a representative of all the state association presidents. It was great. It was a fantastic time. I learned so much. I got thrown in. I feel like I probably got the opportunity to learn more about nursing and nursing advocacy, population health, and just a whole slew of problems and opportunities of growth within the nursing community before I was even contributing to the community itself.
That's a really kind of cool way to have segued your way into nursing.
It was certainly different. And it's unfortunate that not everyone can get that same opportunity, it was certainly my unique path.
Your journey.
Into nursing.
I love it.
And now,
where are you
officially
now?
Officially, 366 days.
Yes.
366 days at bedside in a surgical trauma ICU. I did my capstone in the cardiovascular world, and I really enjoyed that. But I wanted, shamefully love some blood, guts, and gore.
Uh-huh.
And I also like to be in that transitional space. I found that I really enjoy the hospice order sets that I see and those palliative consults and things like that.
And, and it's funny when you say, you know, enjoy it, because I said it too. And some people would think, oh, well, God, that's morbid. But it's really not.
It's such an honor. It's an
honor. It really is.
And, you know, as a new grad on a level one trauma unit, I think one of my strengths that I bring to the table as a second career nurse is that ability to create interpersonal connections quickly and to help families understand what's going on with their loved one when that loved one themselves can't tell them what's going on.
And without a doubt, in the SNICU, like, that is vital, because most of those people are hanging on, for lack of a better way to say it, hanging on for dear life. And those families are traumatized, they're stressed, they're concerned. And the fact that you have those soft skills, those transferable soft skills is essential, I think, because then you're the bridge for them.
Right.
And most of the time they need us in that space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I enjoy being that bridge. Yeah. And it's, like you said, it's not in a morbid sense. Aww. It's certainly in a honor to have the privilege and the ability to be helpful in those situations.
366
days. 366
days. And you still love nursing.
Still love nursing.
Awesome. I had to ask.
Yesterday I was celebrating 365 days, and the charge nurse looked at me and she asked, you know, how many more years it got in you? You got your first one down. And I was like, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, that's the beauty of nursing.
Exactly.
I could be a nurse doing something that looks completely different next week, next year, 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see some of the great nurses in our state who are still active in some way within nursing,
doing all kinds of things.
Yeah,
opening up their own practices, creating these bridge programs. I mean, it's amazing some of the stuff we see now in nursing. Mm-hmm. So I think that you have a very long career ahead of you, but you can do anything in that career that you decide you want to do. And like you said, there's the sky's the limit with being a nurse. It really is. We believe it, and we think it, and we create it, and then we do it.
Exactly.
That's who we are.
Exactly. It's a fun time.
It is. Well, I love that we have kind of shared with the audience who we are, because sometimes, you know, you hear these podcasts or you hear these videos and you're like, well, who are these people? Mm-hmm. Like, what makes them tick?
Right.
And exactly.
Who are they? Like,
right. Because you can talk about the podcast all day, but who are we at our core? I think we are, number one, we're nurses. We're compassionate people, people who care about our communities. We are people who believe in the work of nursing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't really get that part. Even nurses. Shameless plug. The reason that the South Carolina Nurses Association exists is to work on behalf of nurses. And I think every nurse should be a member of the association.
Agreed.
It's a Starbucks and a half a month, $15.75.
My Starbucks order is beyond that. Me and my Trenta right now pumpkin spice cold brew and my little loaf and my little breakfast burrito.
$18.
At least. Oh my gosh. I don't even look anymore. It's auto reloaded.
It's bad. I get it. I'm not judging. Zero judgment here. But yeah, so I think that we can do so many different things, and all these transitions that we have as nurses really put us in the position to be able to be in any space, because I believe that you need a nurse in every arena. Mm-hmm. You need a nurse in manufacturing. You need a nurse in construction. You need a nurse in hospital settings. Mm-hmm. You need nurses in business. You need nurses everywhere. So to see these nurses who are taking those skills and creating these amazing jobs or these businesses, and it's a good time to be a nurse. I think every time is a good time to be a nurse, but I think it's a good time to be a nurse right now in the space of innovation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
This is innovation in nursing.
It really is. And there are we're not the only nurse podcast out there. We're not the first ones to do a nursing podcast. But I think we'll have a unique perspective, not only for our state, but also through a professional development lens, through an educator lens, through a bedside lens, through policy, advocacy,
100%.
Social determinants of health, you know, not just what's the unsweet tea? Right. You know, what's the bitter stuff? Right. What's getting people, you know, riled up?
Right.
But also, what empowers
and nurses? Excites.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That unique perspective that I think that's what we're missing in a podcast.
I do not disagree with you, Ryan.
I'm glad we're working together.
Yes. I really am. You are spot on. There's a lot of things that are out there right now that are talking about the profession, but a lot of it is frustrating. A lot of it is scary. A lot of it is, oh, bang, 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 all the bad things that are happening. Mm-hmm. But as much as we do want to share those things, because we do, we have to share them in order for us to do better. We got to face where we are. Mm-hmm. But there's so much good that's happening in nursing. There's so much education and evolution that's happening in the field of nursing that we get an opportunity to have a platform to be able to share that is, I think, really important. And let's be honest, we're going to have a good time.
So, I'm not doing this without having a good time.
So it can't just be about us talking to you all like this. We don't want to do that all the time. We got to talk and we're going to have some fun.
Exactly.
I mean, I promise y'all, there's nothing else in the tea. There's nothing else in the tea.
It is too early for
that. It's too early for that. But, you know, we're going to have a good time. And we might do one of these in a late evening, and it might be a different type of tea.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
It could be.
Listen, Long Island's.
I was thinking it. I didn't say it, but I was thinking it.
I mean.
We're all adults here.
Yes, we are.
We're all adults here. But, yeah, we're going to have some fun with this. We're also going to take some time to talk about some difficult topics. We're going to talk about some things that are just pertinent to where we are in nursing. We're going to have some conversations about what's happening in the political space. Mm-hmm. And our goal really is to talk about how do these things boil down to impact nursing.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to make sure people know that, yeah, we're going to talk about what's happening with CMS. We're going to talk about what's happening with HHS. We're going to talk about what's happening in National Institutes of Health. We're going to talk about those things.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes as nurses, we don't realize that those things impact what we do every day.
Affect our practice, affect our patients, affect how we get paid.
I was going to say
patient. And how much we get paid.
Correct, because the reimbursement comes from your government.
Exactly. Your ratios, what you can and cannot do at the bedside.
Correct.
What you can and cannot say at the bedside.
Correct.
There are so many things that if you were unaware, you would feel helpless against.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we could do some root cause analysis on some of this stuff and kind of figure out what's going on. And I think that's ultimately our goal.
Yeah. We're just going to work.
We're going to work. How are we spelling work?
I can spell work. We can work, honey. Or we can work. And I think we can do both.
We can do both.
I think that, yeah, we're going to figure out how do we find ourselves in all these spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And have some fun guests, have some fun conversation, have some difficult conversations, some that totally don't align with who we are and what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not willing to have those conversations, then I don't think that you should have a platform to be able to influence and share with other people.
Sure.
If you're not willing to hear what other people have to say. I always say you can disagree without being disagreeable. And it's important that we are able to do that right now. So I want to hear all the voices, good, bad, and indifferent. And I want to have some fun. And most importantly, support the nurses of South Carolina. You keep showing up. We'll keep showing up.
There we go.
And we're going to talk about nursing and all the things that make nursing so great.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you all for joining us. Until next time.
We are Sweet Tea and Stethoscopes, brought to you by the South Carolina Nurses Association.